You are listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Skylar Butenchin. It's Friday, August 22nd. The National Weather Service has issued a heat advisory across much of KMUN's listening area near the coast, beginning this morning and continuing through Sunday evening. And an extreme heat warning is in effect this weekend for many areas, including Clatskanie and the Willamette Valley. With temperatures expected to reach hazardous levels, state officials are encouraging residents to take appropriate steps to stay safe and reduce health risks. Vulnerable groups, including infants, young children, pregnant individuals, and those with chronic medical conditions, face heightened risks. Limit time outdoors, especially during the hottest part of the day, drink water, and stay in cool spaces as much as possible, and never leave children, adults, or pets in parked vehicles. To locate cooling resources near you, call 211 or visit 211info.org. Hospital leaders at Providence Seaside announced on Tuesday that inpatient obstetric and newborn care services will close on October 4th. The reduced services at Providence Seaside will include labor and delivery, well newborn inpatient care, and outpatient gynecological care with an OBGYN physician. According to the Seaside Hospital's Chief Administrative Officer, Rebecca Copeland, Providence will work with nurses in Seaside to help place them in other positions across the Providence centers. After October 3rd, residents in Seaside will have to travel 30 minutes for obstetrics care north to Astoria. About 30 patients are currently set to give birth after the closures. Providence says it has seen a significant drop in volumes of deliveries in the last 2 years in Seaside, and the company says it has struggled to recruit providers and staff. The decision to close the services in Seaside comes just 14 days after Providence, Oregon announced the layoffs of 128 caregivers across the state. This story comes to us through a news partnership with The Astorian. Read more online at dailyastorian.com. David Kilada and his political consulting firm, Intizar Strategies, have helped to elect 3 Clatsop County commissioners, as well as both of the county's state legislators, Representative Cyrus Javity and State Senator Suzanne Weber. Kilada founded Intizar Strategies in 2019. He now lives outside Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, but his consulting firm has remained active in dozens of races across Oregon. Prior to 2019, Kilada also spent nearly 5 years serving as the political director for Oregon Right to Life, a pro-life political organization that advocates for the legal protection of unborn children. Kilada says he focuses so much on North Coast candidates because the region is a competitive area and an area Republicans can win. One of Kilada's first clients was Clatsop County Commissioner Courtney Bangs. She says that prior to meeting Kilada in 2019, she had little interest in politics, but Bangs is now running for state senate to replace Suzanne Weber, and Kilada will be managing that campaign. Another Clatsop County Commissioner, Anthony Huakuha, says he was referred to Kilada through the organization North Coast First, which works predominantly with Republican candidates and has received money from Koch Industries. Huakuha won his race by just 23 votes. In total, current and former Clatsop County Commissioners have paid Intizar Strategies over $57,000 since 2019, but that number is dwarfed by the more than $1.1 million paid to Intizar Strategies since 2020 by candidates running to represent the North Coast in the state legislature. The largest portion of that sum comes from a series of payments totaling over $630,000 by the candidate committee for state representative and Tillamook Republican Cyrus Javity. Kilada says that even though he helped elect 3 sitting Clatsop County commissioners, all nonpartisan positions, and 2 Republican state legislators, he doesn't believe Clatsop County is, quote, turning red. This story comes to us through a news partnership with The Astorian. Read more online at dailyastorian.com. Earlier this summer, the federal government took back over $1 billion that was already promised to conservation groups, farmers, and ranchers. In Oregon, some of those grants would have gone to wildfire mitigation in forests and rangelands. As Alejandro Figueroa reports, those projects are now on pause.
Jim Bob Collins is a fourth-generation rancher in central Oregon near the Ochoco National Forest. He's taken me up a steep hill on private land his family has homesteaded for over a century. There's lots of mostly dry grass and some bunches of dense pine forest his cattle graze on. As we climb, he points out parts of forest with green grasses in between trees.
So you'll see some of these trees have got some good spacing between them.
And then we drive to an area that hasn't been managed.
I mean, like, look at this. We had a little bit of grass coming back in here, but this is going to take forever. I mean, that is fried. That is cooked. This is what happens when you don't cut anything. See how dense that is? That is just, I've cried over this a bunch, and it sucks.
It's fried, as in burnt. Last year, a wildfire went through here. It burnt fast and so hot that it left burn scars where little grass has grown a year later in some spots and scorched pine trees that could fall over. And Colin says leaving it like that could put this land at risk of even more damage if another wildfire comes through.
Because these trees are going to become an issue. They're going to start falling over and they're going to, when you have a bunch of trees laying dead on the ground, you want to talk about ruining the soil? That's a really good way to ruin the soil.
His local soil and water conservation district was going to help close to 100 producers in Wheeler County with a $21 million federally funded project. Collins is on the conservation district's board, an elected position. But just before they were finishing up agreements with the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the government withdrew the offer. USDA did not respond to questions about why it backed out, but the agency sent an email to the conservation district. It said it was not moving forward with grants funded by the Inflation Reduction Act passed under the Biden administration.
We were looking forward to it. I mean, it was a big thing to utilize those funds for stands exactly like this because it had to have help to get it healthy and to make it fire resilient.
There's a reason why farmers and ranchers work with conservation districts to do this work.
If you're talking out of pocket, if you were going to thin your timber ground and it was going to cost you $1,200 an acre to thin it, people aren't going to do it.
That's Jerry Hamill. He runs a 38,000-acre ranch with his brother, and he's also Collins' neighbor. Ranchers take on a lot of financial risk. They could get wiped out by a down market or a natural disaster. They can't always afford to improve or restore forest or grassland.
People that are trying to make a living, that's their sole source of income, you know, is cattle. I mean, yeah, the cattle market these last couple of years has been good. But previous to this, it was hard to break even.
Last year, wildfires burned a record 1.7 million acres of land in Oregon. Hamill planned to reduce the density of trees and invasive western juniper on his land. Those are fuels that can intensify wildfire. But that work is on pause now. Cassie Newton is the manager of the Wheeler Soil and Water Conservation District. She says the reduced funding doesn't stop the work they do, but it means they're able to do less. And Newton says there's more that is lost when this money gets taken away.
There are just so many different aspects of this project that was beyond just the conservation practices hitting the ground.
That's because this money eventually makes its way to people that get contracted to do these jobs, and then the local hardware store and the grocery store.
Joe Smith off the street isn't going to care if George is doing land management on his property, right? But through the contracting and bringing the money to the small rural communities, it's allowing the communities to stay viable.
Newton says they'll try to get the project funded again. In the meantime, Dan Bob Collins says some ranchers won't be able to prepare their land for fires if or when they come.
If you don't have the money, you don't have the money. I mean, there's nothing you can really do except for just hold on and pray.
If anything, the risk gets pushed another year. In Mitchell, Oregon, I'm Alejandro Figueroa reporting.
You are listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you will always be able to find today's local and regional news here at KMUN.org. To contact the KMUN News Department, email us at news1@KMUN.org. That's news, the numeral one, at KMUN.org.